Thought Bubble Audio.
Look, up in the sky!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Name the dog in the ant.
Life finds a way.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one. Because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Hi, and welcome to Beer with Geeks, where two geeks geek out with beer. I'm Tim, and with me, as always, is my parallel dimension traveling friend, Frank.
In my world, it's Knarf.
Knarf.
Yeah.
Frank Knarf. It's backwards. Okay, I was trying to change letters, and I just needed a mirror, apparently. Mm. How are you today?
I'm good. So your name isn't Mitt here?
No. Oh. No, I am not a Romney. Oh. Thank you.
You look like one.
Do I? No, I don't.
All right, anyway.
Yeah.
How are you doing today?
I'm fine. I'm a little freaked out now.
That's just how people in my world greet each other.
Yeah, no
being polite.
No handshakes, just
Why would you touch someone's hand? That's gross. Do you know where that thing's been?
Yeah. It's been in my other hand right now.
Even worse.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Double hamnicide.
Oh, no. Ham nation. Anyway, are you drinking?
I'm obviously drinking. Obviously.
That's the only time these conversations
Yeah, I'm just drinking the Sam Summer. Yeah, because it's summer, and it's Sammy.
Very nice. It's very Sammy.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
What are you drinking?
I'm drinking a porch rocker. I'm rocking on my porch.
Your favorite.
It is. Mm-hmm. You know, the other day.
Wish I had a porch. Oh, wait, I do have a porch.
Yeah.
I wish I had a porch that wasn't made of concrete.
With a rocker on it.
Yeah.
Yesterday, as a matter of fact, I live in Boston. You live near Boston. I was walking through Boston, mm-hmm. and I walked past the cemetery near Park Street.
Yep.
And where Samuel Adams is buried. And someone who thought they were being real funny, the night before, mm-hmm. had left a bottle of Sam Adams right next to Samuel Adams's.
That's awesome.
Headstone.
No, that's great. I love everything about that.
I really wanted to stop and take a picture of it, but I was in conversation with a friend, and I felt it rude to stop her and be like, "Wait, let me take a picture. You stop talking."
Well, that friend apparently doesn't understand you at all.
She was in the middle of a conversation, just talking about life, and I was like, "I don't want to." This is really funny, but I'm not gonna stop my life and be like, I know you're you have problems and stuff, but like, this is funny. Yeah. So
I understand that.
Can you pause for
I understand
Snapchat?
That your mom's not really your mom, she's your grandma.
Whatever,
and,
but
you know, and like your boyfriend left you for a dog. But you know, like I gotta take a picture.
But
Sam Adams.
And it's a picture of Paul Revere and like
yeah, he doesn't understand how double funny this is right now.
But yeah, I thought that was very, very funny, and I walked by it again today, and it wasn't there.
In a parallel universe, do you think that there's a bottle of Sam Adams with Sam Adams on the bottle, or it's Paul Revere's with a picture of Sam Adams?
I think that one.
Yeah.
I think there was a beer somewhere called Paul Revere's, and Sam Adams' face is on it, and everyone's like, that is an ugly man.
I'm not going to drink that. Oh, we should brew that. And make those labels Paul Revere's. Just call it Paul Revere's.
Paul Revere's and put Sam Adams' face on it.
And then put Sam Adams' face on it.
And he's like holding the beer mug in the other hand.
Oh, yes. It's just all backwards.
Just mirror image.
Yes.
Oh, my God. That's great.
You put the state and then the city.
Yes.
Yeah. You just switch everything up. Oh.
Oh, brilliant.
I'm 100% on board with this.
All right. Let's do it.
Okay.
We'll have a design contest. Anyone who's listening wants to design those beer labels, go for it.
Yes. Yes,
please. Beerwithgeeks@gmail.com. Send it over to us. But yeah, parallel universes are a funny thing.
Yeah.
And they're very entertaining.
Or a terrible thing.
Or a terrible thing, depending.
Or a scary thing. Or I could do this. I'll stop with the thing. So Parallel universes is a working theory, right?
Yeah.
This is a real scientific theory.
It is a real theory of...
that every action you have, there are other choices that could be made,
right,
which spawn out different universes that all occupy the same space but are vibrating at different frequencies, mm-hmm, to create parallel universes.
Right, right. So there is an infinite number of universes where every choice you've made in your life, walking left instead of walking right, or, you know, who you choose to date, or anything, any number of choices from large to small,
yeah,
all happened the opposite
way. Greek salad
way.
Or Caesar salad.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Boxers or briefs, everything, mm-hmm, alternate versions of everything.
Or commando.
Mm. Hey, I'm not judging. So that's the theory. And comics really take this and run with it, right, in a lot of ways. DC Comics in particular,
yeah,
is big on, they had that whole imprint that was called Elseworlds,
yep,
for a while, which I really enjoyed a lot of those stories. It was a great way to be like, what if we just like throw out the rules and tell us who we want to tell?
Rules.
Right. And it's a fun way to get to have that story.
Yeah. I mean,
like,
yep,
what if Superman was a communist? You know, like,
right,
have that fun with that story, but not have to change continuity to make it happen.
Right. Right. And Marvel has their share of,
sure,
alternate universes, too, because they subscribe that there are infinite number. The Marvel Universe, the main Marvel Universe that you read is Marvel Universe 616, which I think they actually just did away with. They don't want to call it that anymore.
Yeah.
Because it, like, deems that it's not the main one,
right,
like the proper one, but whatever. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
It's still 616.
Huh. Right. Yeah.
So... you have some favorites and I have some favorites. Mm-hmm. So what's one of your favorites, and we can talk about it?
The one I just referenced, Red Sun, Superman, Red Sun.
Communist Superman.
Because
you're
Superman,
a comedy.
You're
a comedy and a commie.
That's right. Pinko Cronkite. No, I love...
that was...
it's all in the family. I love that book. That's like the first graphic novel that I really picked up.
Mm.
And it's still every couple years I go back and read it again. I'm due now to read it again.
Are you?
It's probably been 3 or 4 years. But it's a great alternate story that's just like, it's something that if they did it in the main books, I'd be like, what?
Right.
But as it like, and its own little sandbox,
yeah,
you know, cut off from everything else, it's a really great story.
He lands in the Ukraine, right?
He lands in the Ukraine.
Yeah.
And
is raised by Comrade Stalin.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm,
then...
So it's everything that, you know, instead of truth, justice, in the American way, it's all this stuff about...
Truth, justice, in the Soviet way.
Yeah, yeah. And there's, yeah, and the expansion of the Warsaw Pact. And, like, there's all,
right,
you know, it's all these things. And he's used as he becomes a government symbol,
mm-hmm,
in the USSR, and because of him, the Cold War starts going the other direction, and the,
right,
USSR is taking over. A little bit Man in the High Castle too. So it's
right,
you know,
yeah,
so it's a really interesting, a really interesting take. And so I really enjoy that story, not just because it was one of the first that I really read, but, you know, it still holds up for me now, reading it now. I really, really enjoy the hell out of it, and I find it very, it's an interesting take that you wouldn't get otherwise. And
yeah,
that's what I like about all these alternate universe things in general, is that you wouldn't get this version if they weren't able to be like, all right, off in another world, this happened.
Right.
And it's a fun story to tell, and you get to enjoy it, and then come back to your, like, all right, but now we're coming back to our main story.
I really like, I really like Red Sun because Batman wears a furry hat.
So cool.
It's so funny. He still looks so cool in it. And
yeah,
then, but I like the artist, Dave Johnson, who we met last year.
That's right, we did.
We met Dave Johnson.
And I think he had like one pencil page? Drawing,
yeah,
left from Red,
yeah,
Sun.
Yeah, that was going for an exorbitant,
yeah,
amount of money.
Yeah.
But I love his rationale for the hat is that Russia is cold.
Yes.
Batman is human. Batman would need to wear a hat.
Yes.
Yeah.
And everyone was like flap hats. So
yes.
The flaps to come
with
down.
With the fur on the,
yeah,
front.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, or the
trapper
wool.
Hat.
Yeah. On the front. Yeah.
Yeah.
Trapper hat. Right. Yeah. He looks great.
Yeah,
I love it.
Awesome.
I remember when I see that when I was a kid, though, not knowing what a trapper,
mm-hmm,
hat was. I'm like, what?
What are you wearing?
What is Batman wearing? Not understanding how cold winter in Russia,
yeah,
is,
yeah,
or anything like that. Oh, it's great.
I always liked Wonder Woman's design in that book as well.
It's pretty much just regular design, but she's black. She's wearing black and red.
She's
instead.
Wearing black and red, and it's a, you know, it's a retro. It's more of like a retro,
right,
look.
Mm-hmm.
But I like that as well. Yeah. Anyway, great story, great alternate universe. I really enjoy that one. What about you?
This one is a little out of the box from the rest of them, but I really enjoy Kamandi.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Kamandi, the last boy on Earth. Yeah. Kamandi is a, for those who don't know, the Jack Kirby invention from the 70s, 60s or 70s. And 70, pretty sure it's the 70s. Mm-hmm. And he's named after this bunker, Command D.
Right.
In which the whole world has been destroyed and all these animals have evolved into, you know, different packs, and they're talking and they're very anthropomorphic. And so there's like the tiger, you know, the tiger tribe and the rat tribe and like all these different groups. And there's just like, he's the last human boy on Earth. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it's so wild. It's like Planet of the Apes,
yeah,
but to like a more extreme level, because totally. It's not just apes. It's all animals, mm-hmm. or for the most part, except for horses. For some reason, horses don't get to evolve.
You gotta have some,
you're
some.
Perfect the way you are. Yeah. Horses. You don't need to do
Someone's
got to
say the same.
Yeah.
It's like in Toy Story 2, all the toys could talk except for Bullseye. The horse just couldn't talk.
Wow. How animalist.
I know, right?
Wow. But Slinky could talk. Rex could talk.
I don't make the
Ham
rules.
Could talk. That's so weird.
Slotted
never.
Pig? You mean slotted I've, pig?
Slotted pig. The slotted pig holds no soup.
Wow.
Yeah. I've never thought of that before. Oh, my whole mind is blown.
Yeah.
And
yet, some of the other, like Bo Peep Sheep can't talk, right?
Right.
But then some of the other like humanoid toys don't talk either. Mm-hmm. Like there's the wrestler
guy doesn't talk. Stretch Armstrong. Yeah, right.
Yeah. Stretch Armstrong. Like they don't talk either. They just.
I wonder
if binoculars.
The animals don't talk because they're like the accessory.
To
the toy.
Right. That's so, kind of the best I can get.
Oh,
to,
that's
yeah.
so weird. I gotta go back. I want to go back and watch.
We should podcast about Toy Story.
Because Lotso Huggin'Bear talks, and he's a bear.
Right. But he's a standalone toy, right? He's not like
but
the accessory.
But because he's not an accessory.
Right.
And maybe the strong arm man just chooses not to talk. Ooh. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Whole Toy Story series. It's coming. You can't stop it. Yeah, so I really like Kamandi. I would really love to see some kind of cartoon or movie or, you know, television, something with Kamandi. It's a good story, being expensive television.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, it would be. But it'd be awesome. Yeah. Maybe a good HBO.
Yeah, because it's so interesting. And with Planet of the Apes being popular again, it's kind of like, it's almost a missed opportunity.
That's
I know
true.
That DC is doing like a writers and artist gallery Kamandi book. It's like everyone pitches their different Kamandi like that. And that was announced a long time ago, and I don't know what happened to it, but I could go for some Kamandi.
Is Grant Morrison involved with that? He always likes to come back to Kamandi.
I don't know.
Yeah,
that's
I wonder.
A good question.
He has a fun
because there's Anthro, the first boy,
and then Kamandi,
the last boy. Anthro, I attach myself to the same way.
I don't really know anything about Anthro other than Final Crisis.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, he's the first boy.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that, but that's all I've read of him.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. When we did our DC, I think it was just DC villains. Yeah. We did like DC villains who are our favorite villains.
Yeah.
And we almost forgot until the very end when we did honorable mentions, Superboy Prime.
Oh, so the Prime universe.
So Earth Prime and all that follows. I freaking love that. I love, mostly because I love Superboy Prime so much, but I really liked,
what are the other stories from Earth Prime?
So, there's, Legion of Three Worlds, right?
Yeah.
Final Crisis, Legion of Three Worlds, where he goes back to his Earth.
Yeah.
As crazy Superboy Prime, like murderous rampage Superboy Prime.
Goes
back there. That was, I thought, a really good story, a really good tie-in.
Forgot about that.
A little bit of a mind-blowing moment near the end of that book where...
Don't they crash the walls of the DC offices?
Yeah, they crash the walls of the DC offices. But in his universe, he is reading the comic book that you're reading. And it's this total mind-bender where he looks at the cover, and it's the same cover of the book that you're reading right now.
Mm-hmm. It's very meta.
It's like how many layers, yes, and then they crash the DC offices. So that's a fun story, but DC, I mean, that universe gave us Superboy Prime, right? Who was a huge pivotal character for, you know, on and off, but really pivotal character for decades. Like stories kept coming back
right.
to him, and he was involved in all these pivotal moments. Crisis on Infinite Earths, Infinite Crisis, Sinestro Corps War, and even Final Crisis. All these big keystone moments he was really, really hugely important to, and was very entertaining in what a jerk he was.
Right. Oh, yes.
So, and what, I mean, more than just a jerk, a murderer, murderous, terrible, awful villain.
You have a very, I know you still read comics, but you have a very small window of like, this was the golden age of comics to me. Like, it's just like a 2 year period.
That's, I mean, I have a, really, I mean, for sure. I have a favorite period, but like, I mean, I won't deny it. I really like
it's
the just,
there's nothing wrong with it. Cause everyone has like their time, but it's funny that like, it's like, any between Infinite and Final Crisis, those stories and those characters are the ones that you constantly go back to and say, these were the greatest stories.
For me.
These were the best ones.
And it's not, best I think is strong, but favorite.
Yeah.
Because like, well, something like Watchmen, something like, you know, Dark Knight Returns.
You could talk about like literary best.
Those are best, right. The best to me means something different than favorite. Empire Strikes Back is the best Star Wars film, but
your favorite is New Hope.
A New Hope is my favorite. Yeah. You know, there's a difference there. But yeah, those are definitely my favorites. That's a period that I just imprinted on really, really hard. But and certainly Superboy Prime played a role in that time period. But really, you know, for 30 years, he was a big, 20 years, he was a big part of the universe.
Right.
So.
Yeah, he was, but not evil Superboy Prime.
Right, not for the whole... not for the whole time.
Right.
Only for the last, like, 5 or 10 years that he was evil, right?
No, he wasn't
from Infinite Crisis. Infinite Crisis when he became...
No, Final Crisis was 2008, and Infinite Crisis was 2005.
Oh, I was thinking it's 2003, but you're right, it's 2005.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like, it's a very small window of time. Yeah, that's a good call. On a Hop Universes...
Yeah, do it.
The Ultimate Universe. Yeah.
Okay, I was going to go there too. This is good. Yeah.
Yeah, the Ultimate Universe, Marvel's Ultimate Universe, Jim Shooter at Marvel wanted to cut away all of Marvel's continuity and start a new universe when he was editor for a long time. And finally, it won out with the idea kind of spawned into the launch of the Ultimate Universe in 2000, in which creators were given characters and they could do whatever they want with them and update them and, you know, do something, start with a new spin and all that. And a lot of books started fresh and a lot kind of went into like, oh, let's just do that famous story in our own version.
Right. With these other versions of the characters.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And it kind of became less of what it was supposed to become, except for Ultimate Spider-Man, I think is the only one that really, all the way through to the end of the universe was really the only one that really stayed strong. The rest of them really petered out. Ultimate Spider-Man was probably because it was Bendis writing from Brian Michael Bendis writing from beginning to end. You know, one author's through voice is extremely fortunate for a book.
Yes, right, exactly.
But the Ultimate Spider-Man is the Spider-Man that I love the most.
Same,
you know,
right,
like I read the regular universe book and I have been reading it for a long, long time now, but Ultimate Spider-Man is my favorite Spider-Man. I was just, did you ever play the Ultimate Spider-Man video game?
I don't think so.
I was just talking about it with somebody who, and I didn't know anybody else that had played it, and I ran into somebody and we somehow got onto the subject, and it was my favorite Spider-Man game because it took place in continuity in the Ultimate Universe, and then when you got to a point in Ultimate Spider-Man comics, it started referencing the game and started to play along in that storyline. So if you read it, a lot of it made so much sense.
Sure.
And it was great. But yeah, the Ultimate, I mean, a lot of people know what the Ultimate Universe is, so I don't need to talk about it more.
Right.
Your turn.
So this is an obscure one, and this is one that I only know from a couple of stories, but I liked it. I enjoyed them so much, these characters so much, that this is making my list. So DC purchased a company called Quality Comics.
Yeah.
And they published The Freedom Fighters, right? Uncle Sam and...
Oh, yeah, sure.
Right? And they made appearances in some of the big events.
Yeah.
In the 2000s as well.
Uncle Sam, the heart of America.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, kind of like JSA, but but it's Uncle Sam and a bunch of patriotic...
Phantom Lady.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so I really like those characters.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why, because they're only in those books for like a couple panels, right?
Yeah, Freedom Fighters had their own book for a little while.
For a
Phantom
little while.
Lady had a miniseries for a bit.
Oh, that I didn't know about, actually. Yeah. I didn't know about the Phantom Lady series. I remember there being a Freedom Fighters series. I admit I haven't read it. I would really enjoy, I feel like I would really enjoy that as, you know, as a series now. And I can go back, I will go back and read the Freedom Fighters stuff. But there's something about the way those, maybe they were written for that,
yeah,
for those stories, like the crises and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like, and going back to, you know, all the way to
the strength of Paul Bunyan.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Like, it's just, it's so.
That's so funny because I don't give a damn about Freedom Fighters.
Like,
I like Uncle Sam just because
like
it's
Uncle
funny,
Sam.
But that's.
I like seeing a ripped Uncle Sam.
Yeah.
Like, fighting.
Uncle Sam is always ripped. What are you talking about?
No, but like a really ripped,
oh, yeah,
like in the modern sense.
Like J.K. Simmons working out for Justice
like
League.
Like that.
Yeah.
Like 60-something year old man,
yeah,
but who is ripped beyond belief and who is fighting, like, you know, freaking Darkseid or, you know, whatever. Something about that is just like, yeah, do it. I can't explain why it is. It goes against, like, it's kind of a mythical type of thing, right? Which kind of goes against the things I like. This kind of like we were having a conversation off mic a couple weeks ago about how I really enjoy Wonder Woman, and you're like, but that's like fantasy and mythology and
things
you don't like
don't
those
like.
Things. I'm like, yeah, in that combination, I do. I can't explain it. I'm a very complicated man.
It still doesn't make sense to me.
I'm a complicated man. But it's like if Gaston dressed like Uncle Sam, that's what he would look like.
Yeah,
like that ripped.
That's no,
like
that's
comically
a, yeah,
ripped.
like 30 years in the future, Gaston.
Yeah,
yeah, maybe 40 years in the future.
But it's another alternate Earth where this time where the Axis powers won World War II, and Uncle Sam and his crew are the Freedom Fighters are you know fighting the resistance against the Nazis.
Right.
So, I rather like that. So, what can I do? Sue me.
I don't know. That's fun, though. No, that's good.
Yeah.
Going back.
Yeah.
Do it. My turn?
Your turn.
Is it my turn?
It is.
I really liked, it was very limited, and it the book itself wasn't great, but I think it could have been a lot better than it was, but the pulp universe.
Oh, sure.
With the, you know, Batman teams up with the Spirit and Doc Savage and Jungle Girl and all of that.
Oh, yeah.
So they all exist in the 20s and the 30s. I would have actually loved to see more of. And
yeah.
A lot of that exists over in Dynamite where, you know, there's, you know, but I love the Shadow and the Phantom and the Green Hornet.
I like those too, the pulp,
and I,
the
yeah,
pulp heroes.
I like the pulp heroes so much. And the, I really would have liked to have seen more pulp, those pulp heroes interact with more pulp DC characters. Cause the only one was Batman.
Yeah.
But I mean, but, you know, Doc Savage is like one of the influences for Superman.
Right.
You know, because he had his little Fortress of Solitude in the Arctic and, you know, all that stuff. And it would have been fun. It just would have been fun. I would have liked to have seen more of that. Pulp heroes are fun. That was a J.G. Jones art, I think.
Oh, man. What's he doing nowadays?
I don't know.
That's he kind of, after...
He was doing his own... Wait, nope. He was doing his own book at... It was a DC... It was a DC imprint.
Okay.
But I
he was doing interiors?
Yeah. No, he was doing covers and he was writing it.
Oh,
no,
okay.
Wait. No, I'm lying. That was... now I get... The guy, Lee Bermejo or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Bermejo. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
Bermejo. Yeah. I was thinking... So I don't know what J.G. Jones is doing.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a good question.
Since Final Crisis, I haven't really... I lost track of him.
It's a good question.
Yeah.
It's a good question. Okay.
I like when I have a comic book question for you, you always look at your shelf like the answer is going to be like, maybe I'll see the name of the book that he's
I've been doing
now.
That. I'm doing that literally.
I know. Well,
it'd
make the whole scene.
Yeah.
But in particular, when I have like a question, you're like, if I scan the shelves, I was like, wait, no, it's that book that's right there. There it is.
I really got to organize those shelves. I say it every week, time you're here.
Are they in any kind of order right now?
The Marvel ones are in exact order, but when I moved the two bookcases in here, they're by publisher. And so one is DC, one is Marvel, and then other... smaller prints like Image and Dynamite, and actually Vertigo is not in with the DC stuff. IDW, Top Cow, all that Dark Horse, they're all in Oni, I'm just going to name all the titles. Black Mask, you know, whatever. Boom. Yeah.
Archie.
Boom is Archie.
Boom actually. Is Archie?
Yeah.
No way. Really? Mm-hmm. I had no idea.
No, it's no, not. Wait, no, no, it's no, not no. Boom.
DC bought Archie.
It's no. Fuck. Who bought Archie? Was it? It's not Oni.
It's not DC. I thought that. Okay, I don't know. I know they hadn't merged them, but I thought they owned, like, Warner Brothers owned them or something. Is
it? It might be IDW.
I'm going to use my one lookup for this, because now, because
you talk about
me.
The new one, because like Mark Waid is doing the new one. Fiona Staples did the art on the first. Oh shoot!
Let me see. Is it my one? Oh, Dark Circle.
No,
I know that's another. That's another imprint under the same company. Okay. Well, I'm going to have to keep looking at this, but
yeah.
So I don't. This is This is a different universe, but Kingdom Come.
Yeah, it's a different universe.
Kingdom Come
is
a different universe. That's when we really should devote an episode to that.
We could devote a whole episode to that. So it's good. Great.
That's it. Okay. Then in place of that, I'll do another Alex Ross. Marvels.
Oh yeah. Would you consider that an Elseworlds book?
Isn't it kind of?
Not because all the stories are taking place as they normally would. It's just from an objective observer's point of view. It's not from a superhero's point of view. It's not telling a new story. It's just telling a story from a dude on the street. I don't know if that's a new universe story.
See, I did think of it as sort of a different universe where, because like the time period when it happens and the way, or I guess it's
all the stories that take place in the are all, he ages up with each story.
With the Marvel universe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's true, but it's the way that the what am I trying to say? The way they overlap, and the way that all the different heroes come out. I don't know. I it didn't occur to me that maybe it was just the Marvel universe. I saw it as like a separate universe. Maybe I have to withdraw that one. I don't know.
Well, I have one that's absolutely a different universe.
Okay, hit me.
The DC's original graphic novel line, Earth One.
Yes.
I really like those.
Yeah.
I think the Superman ones are pretty good.
They're
by Straczynski. They're not great.
Yeah.
The Geoff Johns Batman ones are really interesting.
The second one just came out or
a while ago.
The soft cover just came out. Okay, that's what I saw.
Yeah.
I have the first one. I read the first one and I forgot to read the second one, or I missed it when it came out.
Yeah.
But I guess I didn't realize that was just the soft cover that just came out. So.
Yeah, you can borrow it if you want. I have it.
Okay, cool,
Yeah, it's quite good. I haven't read Grant Morrison's Wonder Woman one yet. I haven't had time to read it. But it's Grant Morrison and Yannick Paquette, and I like both of them.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And I feel like going along with that, since we're kind of running low on time now, I feel like something that bears mentioning there is the All-Star line.
Oh, right. All-Star is a different universe. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. So All-Star Superman, All-Star Batman, and Robin the Boy Wonder.
Yeah. That book is terrible.
and it was comically late.
But it's so great.
Both of those were comically late.
Yeah, they were really late.
Especially Batman.
Batman still hasn't finished yet. It's not done yet.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, Superman finished, and I think Superman's was worth the wait.
Yes,
because what a great Superman story that is. That's a book that you hand to people when people don't understand Superman. Yes. You hand it to them, and you say,
"Yes,
it's some of it might be a little much, but this is a very clear cut understanding of the enduring legacy of the character and why he's important. And some of the ideas are wacky, but it's understandably easy to read. One that I want to devote a whole episode to. At the same time as Dark Knight Returns, which is one of my favorite universes.
Yep.
You know, we can talk. I could talk your ear off about Dark Knight Returns or the Dark Knight universe for a long time,
which we should do.
Yeah. Maybe that should be your best shot. Why should like the Dark Knight Returns? Why everyone should like the Dark Knight Returns?
I like the Dark Knight Returns. I do.
Why everyone should worship at the feet of the Dark Knight Returns? I'm just kidding. All right, what else you got?
That's it for me, man.
What about the Gotham by Gaslight universe?
That's one that I have not.
You haven't read. Batman hunts down Jack the Ripper in 18th century London. It's pretty good.
You recommended that one to me a couple years ago, and
it's very short. It's a one shot, So it doesn't take a long time. It does not take a long time to read. You know, that's like a, I have 45 minutes. I could sit down and read this book.
Good.
Yeah.
Because that sounds very, like, I love that idea. I love that idea. Just like a good old fashioned detective story with Batman, you know, like I love a good Batman detective story. I love a good detective story, and that's what I like about Batman so much.
You know, we talked about it previously already, but the New Frontier.
I thought about that one too. I kind of passed through it, but you're right. It's worth mentioning here because it is. Yeah.
Any of the Vertigo itself stick out to you as like? Do you read any of the ever read any of the Vertigo stuff?
Years ago, but I haven't in a long
doesn't,
time.
Yeah, so. Because it doesn't hit me the same. No, it doesn't hit me the same way. But that's okay. Shout out to almost impenetrable Age of Apocalypse, the X-Men alternate universe, because there's so many alternate universes and futures and whatever else when it comes to the X-Men.
Right.
It's almost impossible to pin down a good one, so you can just pretty much say the X-Men,
right,
and call it a day.
And all the universes that fall under it. What I was thinking of, by the way, with Archie, was that DC didn't purchase but licensed a bunch of superheroes that were owned by Archie Comics. The MLJ superheroes and did a line called Red Circle. That was about 6 or 7 years ago that DC licensed those and did their own line. but it was like they weren't published as DC; they were purchased as Red Circle. So it was a different line. But yeah, I don't know. I can't see on their. I'm looking here, and I can't figure out who it is that owns. Maybe they are still their own.
Maybe it's still company. Archie Comics.
It must have been the DC thing that confused me at least.
I'm looking at ArchieComics.com right now, and they have previews up for the new Archie's coming.
Yeah, yeah.
By Mark Waid. So maybe it actually is. Archie still owns it. Wow, that's very impressive.
Yeah.
Actually. Do you read the new Archie?
I love.
Yeah, it's the great. New yeah.
I've never read Archie before last year, and when they launched with number one, I don't know why, I was like, I'm going to try this. It's the same thing in me that was like, I love the Freedom Fighters. I'm like, I love this old-timey stuff. Yeah. Like, I want to try it. I'm just going to try it. What's there to lose? And I picked up Archie number one, and I was like, this is great. The lipstick incident. What is it? I want to know.
I've
been enjoying it ever since, and now I'm reading Jughead, too. And
oh, are you reading Jughead? Yeah. I'm not reading Jughead.
It's pretty good. It's fun.
There are a lot more multiverses out there that we haven't touched on. Maybe we'll do some research and come back.
Part two.
I think like we can do a part two after. Yeah, we could do a part two. There's I'm looking at some on my shelf now. We've been like, oh yeah, that one and that one. Which I mean, they certainly become less your favorite when you forget them,
right?
But there are a couple out there that are worth mentioning, at least. Absolutely worth mentioning. So, but you can find us on Facebook.com/BeerWithGeeks, at Twitter and Gmail at BeerWithGeeks. Rate us and review us on iTunes, Overcast, Satchel, and Google Play, and all other places that you can get the iTunes. Tell your friends about it, which has been happening pretty recently. It's good news. We'd love to hear from you.
Yes.
So, anyway, that was fun. And until next time.
Cheers. Cheers.